Now, this morning we're talking about serve. How many of you know what serve is already? We talk about it a bit in this church, don't we? Serve is when we go and our high school youth, we travel to another place, and while we're there, we do work with some people, we worship, we get to go in small groups and learn more about God and our relationship with God. And this year, 16 people from this church traveled to Muskegon, Michigan. And we've got a number of our friends that were there with us joining us here today. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the work we did. So I've got a box full of stuff here. If you were going to go do God's work somewhere else, do you think these might be helpful? I got a hammer.
Depends if you're building a house or repairing something.
Were we repairing something? Did anyone use a hammer while at serve? Nobody? Nobody fixed the fence? Oh, down there? One person used a hammer. All right, so we've got a hammer. I brought a couple of hammers because I wasn't sure. Every group did different things every day. As you heard John say, John did different things, then Caleb did different things, and Laura did different things, and Leah did different things. But we kind of went in a rotation. So I brought some hammers. This is probably something we used a little bit more of. What about a mop or a dustpan and a broom? How many of our servants here used a dustpan and a broom while on serve? All right, there's a few more hands for dustpan and broom. All right, what about work gloves and cleaning solution? I know my group, we use work gloves and cleaning solution. Yeah, so we got a lot of names. Leah and I clean 3 vans together. What's wrong with that? Actually, 4, because I brought our serve van up. Got a free clean. And I've got some screwdrivers, some wrenches, some pliers, and a box of Smarties. Those are for me. Now, what do you think in this box here would be the most useful thing if you were going to go to serve somewhere and help people out? What do you think in this box? What do you think, Bethany?
Everything except for the Smarties.
Smarties are good.
Yeah.
What about you, Curtis? Don't talk with your mouth full. You have no idea? Well, you know what? I put the Smarties in here on purpose because I think they're the absolute most important thing. And when you guys go up to Kids Club today, you're going to learn about that too. We can take these Smarties, and each of you, I ate these in front of you, and I always do that, but you're going to get your own up in Kids Church. And you're also going to get a box of Smarties to take home with you to share with somebody else. And it's our prayer that you share it with someone that you can invite to Kids Church next week, or that you can invite to Gems, or that you can invite to Boys Club. You're going to make a little invitation to go with it. And by doing that, you're doing exactly what we did on serve, sharing God's love. And when we go on serve, the first thing I say to my work group, and I have one person from my work group here, Sam, please stand up. So Sam got the honor of being in my work group for the whole week. We got to hang out together. And I didn't say sit down yet, Sam. And the first thing I would always say to my work group at the start of the week is, the work is not important. It's the relationships that you're going to build. So when we go to a work site and we're asked to clean a whole bunch of desks, if we see someone there, if we see someone walking by, I would encourage our youth to go and chat with them. And they were great. They would go, they would share what they were doing, and they would share why they were doing it. And that's my prayer for each one of you this morning is, after Kids Church, when you get that box of Smarties to share, that you find someone that lives near you that you can share that Smarties with and tell them what we do here at Community Church. Can you do that for me?
Yeah.
Give it a try?
Yeah.
All right, let's pray together. Dear God, we want to thank you so much for all that you do for us. We want to thank you for all of the young people here that just gave their lives for a week to do your work over in Muskegon, Michigan. And it's so great to have so many new friends here with us today that we met during that trip. Lord, we pray for your work to be done in our city here, as well as in the cities that surround this area, as well as in the cities where the young people came from. We pray that we can make a difference in your name, that you can fill us with your Spirit so that we can go out and continue to serve. We ask that you're with these young people on the stage, that they too can make the difference, that they too can share your love with their friends in their community. We ask that you're with us today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Okay, so I'm going to be talking about God's work through the work sites. So what is the idea of serving? I ask this because we go on serve to, well, serve. Dictionary.com says that serving is to act as a servant or to render assistance, be of use, help. I'm not happy with these definitions, however. Sure, they give you what serving means, but they don't get to the core of what we actually do on serve. Hopefully by the end of this, we'll finally get to the root of what we really did in the workplaces in Muskegon, Michigan. Galatians 5, verse 13 says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." So let's dissect this idea of serve and how it connects to this verse. A large group of teens willing to give up a week of their summer to serve, those who need help and who do work with a smile. To be able to say joyfully that you had the best week of your summer doing hard work for other people is not what most people would expect as an answer. But yet, when you get to be around a group of people who may not be the same on the outside, but have the same beliefs and drive in them, that's when you get results and have fun. One of the most memorable workplaces I worked at is what is going to be an urban garden. And what did we do all day? Nothing but rip up and throw away sod. And trust me, that stuff is not light. By the end of the day, we were exhausted, caked with dirt, and hurting. But we were also so proud of ourselves, and despite the aches in our muscles, we were all so pumped. The people in charge of the worksite were definitely not expecting us to finish everything in the second day. But we pushed harder than we thought possible and finished the entire plot. This only happened because a group of determined, fired-up teens and adults set their minds to have fun, finish what was started, and most of all, wanted to do something good. And trust me, it felt good to see everything we had done. My team was actually supposed to go back the next day to lay topsoil. But when we got there, they didn't have anything for us to do because we, as in my team and I think three or four others, had gone above and beyond what we were supposed to do, and they weren't ready for us. I like to think I got some of the best work sites possible. Two other sites I'll touch briefly on were the Kids Broadway Boot Camp Day Camp and the Food Truck. The Kids Camp was so much fun because we got to hang out with little kids for the whole afternoon. And I met two adorable kids, Stanleyon and Honesty, and I still remember their names. That's how much of an impact they had on my week. The Food Truck, now that was also an amazing experience. Basically, the Food Truck was this giant truck that was jam-packed of all the food stores couldn't sell. And let me tell you, there was a lot of cabbage. So much cabbage. There was so much cabbage that I had to climb into the truck, into the container to grab the cabbage because the box was so big. This happened about once a month, I believe, and there were so many people from the community that came because they needed food, and these people were so sweet and so kind. It really opens your eyes to see a group of locals come because they don't have enough food and need this food that if it was on the shelves, we would turn our noses up and walk away from. Imagine, and if an entire food truck of food can be emptied with basically no leftovers within a few hours in Muskegon, Michigan, it wouldn't be much different in other places, like here in Richmond Hill. There are so many people in need, and we need to do all we can to allow others to have a chance of having a better life. Through doing this, we show the core idea of what Jesus came to do. There are so many things and ideas or reputations that people who call themselves Christians put out into the world, and unfortunately, not all of them are true. By serving, maybe not even speaking, just by doing something, we can show the world who we are as believers. Actions speak louder than words in some situations, and this is one of those times. Mark 10, verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." I'm sure that most of you have heard this idea before, but just think about it again. Who are we to think that because we have all that we need, that others are below us? If it wasn't for the love and grace of God, we'd be exactly the same. We all are the same. The only difference is that we have a certain light in us, the light that comes through Christ. If we have the light of Christ in us, should we not do what he did on earth? We aren't even close to being on the same level as Christ. We're sinners who didn't deserve a second chance. So the fact that we were given one is one of the most amazing gifts you'll ever receive. Don't take the light you've been given and ignore it. And don't fear showing it either. The world needs to know. Our communities need to know. Our families need to know. Everyone needs to know what grace we've been given. It may be harder to speak about your faith. You might not know what to say or how to say it. So what can we do? Give up even just a few hours to show the light inside of you. You don't have to go across the world or to another country. All you have to do is show what Christ has done in you. So what does it mean to serve? One of my teachers in elementary school used to say to us, always leave a person or place better than how you found it. Is that not the basis of what it means to serve? When we serve, we don't go in to make things worse. We go there to help, to show love, and you don't have to lay down thousands of dollars to be able to help. To be able to enter a room and when you leave have the atmosphere different, better than it was when you walked in, means you served. You had grace and love pour out of you, and you don't even have to say a word if you don't want to. Working on serve teaches you life lessons through what you do physically. If you cut nothing through what people might have said, subconsciously you'll have picked up on so many lessons through what you did and where you worked. Serving others isn't supposed to be a chore. You can make it as fun as you would like, so make it fun. Because if you have a positive attitude, you'll brighten up the room you entered and leave it better than when you got there. Serve is over now, and most of us probably haven't even thought about serving here at home. We need to take all that we have learned and apply it to our lives here. But church, this is also a challenge for you. There will always be opportunities to serve someone else. I challenge you to keep your eyes open and look for ways you can leave a person or place better off than when you found them. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3 says, if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. This week, give all you have to God, and do one thing, serve.
All right. Hey, guys. I'm Ime, for those of you who don't remember or don't know me. Hey, I'm Ime. Nice to meet you. So my sermon is going to be on the theme, love God, love the world. But before we give you the meat and bones of my sermon, we're going to give you like the garlic bread. So we're going to give you a little story. And it's actually from the day right before we left serve. So it was the last day of serve with my group, Fox Lace, also the best group at serve, just saying, everyone else can go away. So every day at our small groups, we always kept counting down the day. Until serve was over. Someone always had to mention, like, only 3 more days until I never see any of you again. And it was always followed with a, don't remind me or stop it! The last day finally arrived, and if you saw me, like, I was a complete wreck. I was crying for almost the whole day. My thought process being, if I cried before small group and worship in the last service, I wouldn't cry during it. Yeah, that plan went right down the drain. I was a wreck the entire time. So I actually ended up running out of the service because I was so sad. And if you don't believe me, you can ask John. He literally had to go find me afterwards because I wouldn't come back in by myself. So after service was over, we went into small group. And it was going to be my last day with Louie and Grace and Nigel and Maya. And I thought I had already cried all the water out of my body. And I was completely wrong. There was a lot more left. Once again, I was a crying wreck, but everyone else was crying, or at least tearing up, so it was fine. And at one point, we all considered spending the night outside so we wouldn't have to leave each other. Needless to say, it ended up being a really emotional night because I had to leave people that I didn't know I would end up caring about so much. Because when I came to serve, meeting people was never my main intention. My main intention was showing other people the love of God in an impactful way. Which brings me to my theme, love God, love the world. I spent a long time just looking at the theme, confused, wondering how just four words could compact all the experiences we had in 1 week. And after a while of looking, I realized some things that I'm going to share with you today. So the first thing is that there's an order to the theme. Love God, then love the world. You have to love God before you can love the world. And I know what you're thinking. Really, Ime, I thought you could read. Love God obviously comes before love the world. But I don't think you really understand how upside down the idea of loving the world is. You can turn on the news, and in 20 seconds, you're going to find 20 new reasons to hate the world. So why is it that loving God first is going to change that love into hate? And I personally think it's because God loved us first. In Romans 5, verse 8, it says, God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even we were out denying him and backstabbing and sinning and pretending we didn't know him. He was sending his son to come save us, even though we didn't deserve it. If my friends had backstabbed me or denied that we were friends, the outcome would not have been the same, I promise you. Even after Judas had betrayed Jesus and Peter had denied him several times, he still showed this amazing act of love for us by dying on the cross. And he even goes as far to say, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. If God, and if you read John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for whosoever believed in him. The rest of the verse continues. If God is willing to give up his son, a part of himself, for to save the world because he loves it, how could we not do the same for a God who did the same for us? If God can love me despite my brokenness and my sin, then I can love the world despite its brokenness and its sin. The only possible reason I can find to love the world is because a God who crazily loves me loves the world as well. So what does it mean to love God? It means to make spending time with him a priority. Just like any relationship, it's not going to work if you don't put time into it. Like, if I was going to say, go up to a random stranger and be like, hi, we're best friends now. No, that's not how it works. If I don't say, hey, what's your family like? Hey, what's your favorite color? That's not a relationship that's going to work. So what does it mean to love the world? Loving the world doesn't mean loving the things of the world. It means loving the world in a way that's going to show Christ's love through us, so that the world gets to know God. So the other thing that I realized in the theme is that it has a comma in between it instead of a period. Love God, comma, love the world. It shows that it's one continuous idea. Loving God can't be separated from loving the world. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, it perfectly captures this idea. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Knowing God's love leads you to loving other people, because once you've really felt God's love, that's not something, a feeling, you can keep to yourself. So I thought I would end with another little serve story. It was still the last day before we left. And before serve, I had been in a really weird spot with my faith, my relationship with God. As serve went on and got closer to finishing, I felt like I was finally back to a place where I wanted to be. And I felt like I was finally getting closer with God again. But then I thought I was freaking out. So I'm like, it's the end of serve. I'm going to go back home. I'm going to go back to that weird spot I was in before. But then during the service, Pastor Nate, who was our speaker, said something that really stuck with me. God's love doesn't end when you leave serve. It stays with you when on the ride home and when you get home and when you're hanging out with your friends and your family or when you're at school. Its effects don't disappear when he's not there. Or when we're not at serve. Just like how the effects of our love don't disappear when we're not there. I hope that whenever Miss Ada sees her painted house, or when Brian remembers the time he got dunked in the ocean /river/whatever body of water that was, or you remember the awesome time you had at serve, you also remember the awesome love, the love that God showed someone, who then showed that same crazy upside down love to them, who you showed to someone else. Thank you.
Hello. So, guess I'm finishing off the sermons. Leah and Ume did amazing, so no pressure. But I'm also going to start off with a little story, kind of about how I came to talking about this topic. So, basically, Jack asked Ume and Leah and I if he wanted to preach for the serve service, and I immediately said yes. Because a few months back, we did the youth service, and we preached there, and we had so much fun. So I knew that I was going to have a lot of fun prepping for this one and preparing for this one as too. So, a few days later, Jack gives us a list of topics that he thinks might be good for the service, and then I see God's work through teens. And I immediately picked that one. I'm one of the first to reply. I'm like, I'm going to do God's work through teens, because there are so many cool teens in the Bible who did things. There's David, who was the young boy who defeated a giant with nothing but more than a smooth stone and a slingshot. There was the little boy who helped Jesus feed the 5,000 men by giving away his bread and fish. There was the little maid who told Naaman about how God worked through Elisha, which allowed him to be cured of his leprosy. And so many more than that I can't even mention right now, due to time and because I'm not that great. So I tell Jack that I'm going to do God's work to teens, and I'm about to start writing my sermon, and I'm so excited. I have so many great ideas. So then I look back at the topic, and it says, God's work through teens today. Ooh. So I didn't think that God's work through teens today was as impressive as God's work through teens back then. Because as far as I know, no Christian teens today are going out and defeating giants with stones and slingshots. And no one's helping to feed 5,000 men with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So
then I sat down and I started to feel kind of down because I'm like, oh, this isn't going to be as cool as I wanted it to be. Because no teen showed God's work like they used to before. But then when I sat down and thought about it, I realized that we do more than we actually realize. So, like David, we're capable of defeating giants. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about going up to the tallest person you know with a couple stones and a slingshot and just having at it, because that's not a good idea. I do not condone that at all. But when I'm talking about giants, I'm talking about barriers. And every day we face giants. Maybe it's forgiving those who wronged you. Maybe it's just going out into the world and facing the ridicule that is being a teenager and being a Christian and standing up for what you believe. Us being able to use the strength and the courage that God has given us to face those giants and bring down those barriers is God working through us. And like the young boy who helped to feed the 5,000 men, we can give what we have. This summer alone, hundreds of kids gave up a week of their summer, which they didn't have to help improve communities all over the U.S. and Canada. If that isn't showing God's work, I don't know what is. But not only can we share our time, we can share our talents. Maybe it's singing on the worship team, or maybe it's just being able to listen to what people have to say and being a good friend. But by giving what we have and doing what we can, we're sharing God's love and doing his work. Like the little maid of Israel, we can genuinely care about the people around us. The maid in the story was far from her home, and she was surrounded by people that she didn't know. But she still cared about them enough to tell them about God, causing Naaman to be cured of his leprosy. When we genuinely care about people, we will want to help them and make sure that they're okay and tell them about God. During serve, at the end of the day, people would come back from their work, whatever they did that day, and we'd all sit down and talk about what happened that day. And like John said in his testimony, a lot of groups came back and they talked about how they did prayer walks and they would just pray for the people that came to them and that they saw or that they interacted with. How amazing is that? They didn't even know these people. These teenagers who had never met these people in their life still had enough care to care about them and pray for them anyway. When you genuinely care about people, you don't have to know them personally for God to work through you for them. And the great thing about doing God's work as a teen in a group like Serve is that you're never doing the work alone. There's always someone there to encourage you and to help you to continue to do the work that God wants us to do. So even though we aren't out there helping to feed the 5,000 or actually killing giants with a stone and a slingshot, we're still bringing down barriers and doing God's work in our own way. And while we do this work, God is right beside us cheering us on. So this week, I challenge not only the teens in the room, but the entire congregation to go out into the week knowing that God is going to work through you, not only to help the people around you, but to change the world as well. Amen. So now I'm going to bring up the worship team.
Not yet.
Yes? And no, Pastor Jack, my bad.
Thanks. Thank you, ladies. Thank you for sharing. And I think it's really important that we remember that when we're on serve, we are surrounded by God 24/7, and we are embraced with a relationship that is so strong and so powerful that we come back and we hear all these testimonies. We hear these stories. We hear Chris saying, best week ever. I hear other kids posting on Instagram, I wish it was 2 weeks. 1 week's not enough. And it gets me to thinking as adults, what inspires us? What pushes us in our relationship with God? And where along the line of our relationship with God did we lose that excitement? And how can we get it back? And so I thank these young people for sharing. I thank them for being honest in their relationships with God and for going out and doing that work. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen and everyone. At this point, I'm going to do our congregational prayer and our prayer of response. We have a few announcements. This morning we celebrate with Martin and Taya 50 years of marriage, and you want to talk about a strong and powerful relationship to be together for 50 strong years. We celebrate with you, Martin and Taya. We know Martin is not here today, but Taya is, and they have brought cake for us as well. So there will be cake after the service over in the front foyer. And even though they knew we would have a lot of guests here this morning, we still got cake. So please join us for cake afterwards. But with celebration sometimes also comes sorrow, and Taya lost a sister on Thursday, so we'll be praying for you and your family as well, Taya. Another point of celebration is Philip and Janetta. Philip and Janetta, this is their last Sunday here with us. In a couple of weeks, they'll be departing again for their mission work in Tanzania. So we wish you all the best. We will continue to pray for you, and we look forward to your updates as well as you continue to send us email updates of your work there. We also pray for the Bolivia mission team who will be leaving shortly. What day do you leave again? November? November the 5th, so we will pray for you. For those of you that are not part of the Bolivia mission trip, but would like to be kind of part of the Bolivia mission trip, there is a basket out in the foyer where you can drop various items which the team will bring along with them to share with the people there. That's all my announcements, so let's come together in prayer. Awesome Father, how incredible it is to come to your house and just to hear the words from our young people. To hear how much they love you. To hear how much they have been changed by an experience that is 100% focused on you. And Lord, I thank you for these young people, for their willingness to go out into a community that's scary, that they have no knowledge about, meeting new people that they've never met before, going out doing hard labor, getting dirty, sweating in a scorching sun, but coming back with smiles and tears and just wanting to stay. And Lord, we know that it's because of you that we feel that way. We know that it's because of your spirit working inside of these young people that they just feel amazing about serving you. And Lord, just help us to continue that feeling here in Richmond Hill, in Elmer, in Godrich, in Listowel, wherever we come from. Lord, just help us to continue to grow that relationship with you. Place people in our lives, whether we're young or whether we're old, whether we've been on serve or whether we're just sitting here this morning, not even sure why we're here. Give us some inspiration in our lives, Lord, so that we can go out and we can feel that change in our hearts. That we can go out and make a difference in the people that we meet. Lord, we thank you for 50 years of marriage, for a relationship that you walked alongside through the good and through the bad. We thank you for Martin and Taya. We celebrate the relationship that you have blessed them with. But Lord, we also remember the life of Taya's sister, the long life that she was able to have. We remember Taya and the family as they go through the memories, the stories, and we just pray that they can surround each other with comfort as they remember that life. We pray for Phil and Janetta as they go out to Tanzania once again, as they go out to do your work in an area that needs it so badly. And Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you have blessed each of them with, such unique individual gifts that serve such a great purpose in that area. We thank you for your blessing on their ministry there. And as we look forward to the Bolivia trip, we once again thank you for more hands and more feet that are willing to go out into another area of the world that needs your presence. And Lord, I just pray for the team that's going there, that they can share through actions more than words, through love that they have for you. Lord, I pray for this community right here. We know that missions isn't always done overseas or in another country. Missions is done right here in our own backyard. And I pray that this church, through your name, can reach out into the community through our youth programs, through our deacons, through our elders, through our people here, the congregation that can go out and to be difference makers here in Richmond Hill and Markham and Newmarket or wherever we may go. As one of our young people said this morning, help us to go to an area and then to leave it a better place than when we got there. And we can only do that through your love. Lord, we pray for the politicians in this world, in this country, in this city. We pray that they make decisions that are wise in your name. We pray that when they come together to meet, that you are guiding their decisions. We pray that as Christians, we can have a loud voice and that we can stand for what we believe. We can stand up for our faith. And finally, Lord, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for this church building. And even though we've had some trials and tribulations lately with a flood, we just know that you're going to lift us up and that we're going to rise stronger than before, that we're going to continue to reach out, that we're going to continue to welcome in young people, old people, whoever comes to our door, our ESL classes, the clothing closet people who come to find clothing. We know that you have a purpose for us here, Lord, and we pray that we can do it in your name. We thank you for the ministries here. We thank you for Nora and the work that she does at Genesis Place. We thank you for Pastor Doug and his leadership of this congregation. We thank you for the volunteers that help run this building. In your name we pray. Amen. Just before I invite Mary Ann up to introduce our offering today, I asked the three young girls that did our message to lead us in an offering song. And it's a song... Oh, you're doing the song of response before?
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm not coming back up, so I'm just going to say it anyways. Because I don't want to up and down, up and down. So as we move up towards our offering, we had a talent show at Serve. Every year there's usually a talent show. And the talent show was amazing. There was lots of great gifts. There was a funny song. One of my favorites over here. Maybe she'll do it afterwards for her. No. But the final song was three of our young women singing a Christian worship medley. And so I've asked them if they could share with us again today, and I'm looking forward to that. But I just wanted to let you know that the history behind that song. So we'll get to that song in a little bit. But at this time, I'll invite our worship team forward to do our song of response.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah! Christ is risen. Bow down before saved a wretch like me.
was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. The veil tore before you. You silenced the bolts of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring with praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Jesus Christ with everyone that you come in contact with. And that doesn't mean preaching to their face. That doesn't mean opening the Bible in front of them. It just means loving them. Love God, love the world. May you go out from here filled with His Spirit, knowing that He has loved you first.